know if I'm going to preach or not, but I'm going to give you something to go home and think about. Let you chew on it, ponder on it. We'll leave whether we preach or not in the Lord's hands tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. If you found that place in the scripture, let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God. If you're physically able, that baby hasn't fell asleep in your lap already. Man, I've already enjoyed the presence of the Lord tonight. Amen. In a real way, amen. And I pray that you did too. Matthew chapter number 5. Don't let shout and scare you. It's all in the Bible. And it's all in heaven. Amen. Shoo, Lord have mercy. It is all in heaven. I tell you something. I've learned a long time ago not to worry about how other people worship. Just make sure you worship the Lord honestly before God. The reason I did that is because I can remember there was one fellow that God touched his life, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. That was pretty good right there, amen. Then I read where another gal, God touched her life. She came in weeping and broke a vessel at his feet and washed his feet with her hair and her tears and the ointment. And man, I tell you what, a sweet fragrance filled that place. Then I've seen other places where God touched them and they went out proclaiming him to everybody, even though everybody was saying, shh, be quiet, don't tell nobody. They couldn't keep their mouth shut for going out telling everybody what Jesus did for them, amen? So listen, you'd be real well off not to criticize somebody else's praise until you're sure you're doing it the way you're supposed to be doing it. But I'll tell you, we're going to get to heaven. Heaven's going to be full of shouting and singing and praising God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're continually around the throne tonight crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and echoing back and forth and crying out. Listen, and that ain't even the redeemed crowd. When the redeemed crowd starts, the angels shut up and watch. They can't even figure it out, can't wrap their head around it, said that we don't understand this song, we can't get in on this song, only the redeemed can get in on that part of it. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm about to have me a shouting spell right here. A Babdecostal fit, amen. You know what that is? That's when you shout, but you keep it in English, amen. Keep it where people understand what you're talking about. Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to give you something tonight to go home and get us started. Probably over the next several Sunday nights, we're going to be on this topic, Lord willing. And I say that intentionally because every service I approach it with God, you give me what our people need. And if you got to interrupt a series, you interrupt a series. Amen. And God, if you want to give me a series, you give us a series. But this thought's on my heart as we go into 2017 for the church. And I want to share this with you. He said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What a blessing. I want us to focus on verse 6 tonight and think about this thought. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I like the song the young ladies just sang. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired of church, of regular average church. I'll tell you something, I want to see God move in our midst. I'm hungry and I'm thirsting after God tonight. And I hope you are too. Heavenly Father, bless the Word of God as we share our heart tonight. Give us, Lord, a good week this week of being a witness for you, a light in a dark and sinful world, salt of the earth. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to bear witness of what you've done for us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to have this thought on my heart for the next several Sunday nights on developing a healthy spiritual appetite. Developing a healthy spiritual appetite. Adam Clark said this. He said, heavenly things cannot support the body. They are not suited to its nature. Earthly things cannot support the soul for the very same reason. I want you to think about that. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to have a hunger after God. There needs to be a thirsting after God and the things of God and the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. We ought to be hungry for his righteousness. It seems like we live in such an unholy society that it's hard to find people hungry for righteousness and the righteousness of God. I want to talk about developing a spiritual appetite. This is kind of the intro to that series. And I want to say, talk about that a good appetite is a blessing for several reasons. I want to give you some of those reasons tonight. It's important for us to have a healthy spiritual appetite. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So we want to have a good appetite, and it's a blessing for several reasons. Number one, a good healthy appetite is a sign of life. It is a sign of life. If you have no appetite, let me tell you what that's a sign of. Death. You may still be alive, but if you have no appetite, I want to tell you, you're not far from death. Death's coming. You got a healthy appetite is a sign of life. You say, preacher, why is that important? Well, because we are the life in Christ Jesus. God has given us life. We have been resurrected from the dead. The Bible tells us that he has quickened us. He has made us alive, and we're supposed to be alive. The church is supposed to be alive and well in 2017. We ought to be alive for God. We ought to be alive. The reality is, death is settling in on the church because she's lost her appetite for godly things. She's lost her appetite for biblical truth. She's lost her appetite for doctrine. You know that the majority of people who come to church literally come looking for a church that, quote, isn't preaching doctrine. Isn't that sad? They say, preacher, I don't like all that doctrinal preaching. Well, doctrine is truth. If you don't like truth, then listen, you shouldn't even get around the Bible and the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I'm very pleased. We had a couple caught me Wednesday night. They've been coming now for several weeks. They were here this morning. They caught me Wednesday night in the back and said, preacher, is this a good time to ask you a few questions about the church? And they had some questions about the church. And they said, preacher, we're praying about joining this church. And they said these words, stood right back there in the back and said these words. They said, preacher, we've visited just about every church in this area, and it feels like this is the only one that's preaching the truth. Well, I know that's not true. I mean, I do know there's some good sister churches around that are, but I want to tell you what they're saying is they've hit this area and they've hit all the churches they could find. I could point them to a couple where I know some men are preaching the truth, but I want to tell you, I'm glad they recognized truth and I'm glad they wanted truth. But it is a sign of life. Church, if we don't like preaching, if we don't like the truth, if we don't have an appetite for the things of God, then we have a dead church. If we have a live church, you'll come hungry, amen? You'll come in and say, I'm hungry, preacher. I want some more. Why'd you let us out so early? Why'd you tap out early, preacher? It was just getting good. Preacher, keep going. Don't quit. Preach the truth. When it steps on my toes, keep moving. Hey, listen, we need the truth tonight. We got to have a healthy appetite. It is a sign of life. Appetite is a basic component of life.
Appetite is a basic component of life. Listen to this study that Clovis Chappell made. He said an ordinary beech tree will drink 65 gallons of water on a hot summer day. And an oak tree will drink far more than that. Some of this water must be carried to a height of over 100 feet up into the air. But he said, when a tree ceases to thirst, it dies. I want to tell you something, thank God. I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, his leaf. I'm telling you, I want to be that thirsty tree looking for water. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the water of life. You can come and drink freely. Come to the fount where the glory runs out. God wants us thirsty for himself. You see, it is a sign of life. Appetite is a basic component of life. Not only that, but appetite is a basic measurement of health. When you visit your doctor due to illness, he'll question you about your symptoms. And among those questions, he will ask you this. He will say, how's your appetite? Now, I want to be honest with you about this. I haven't ever had a doctor ask me that. But I do know that they ask people that when they get in a bad way, they'll say, how's your appetite? And if they say, well, I'm hungry all the time and I eat everything, and it's like, well, you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. Amen. It's those ones that don't ever have an appetite. Say, well, I don't have any appetite. I don't feel like eating anything. Can't hold anything down. I don't crave anything. I don't want anything. Thought of food makes me sick. They'll say, we got to check you in the hospital. Something's wrong with you. I wish I had me somebody tonight. We ought to be hungry for the word of God, hungry for the truth of God. And if we have no appetite, you need to check in to the hospital. Amen. I don't mean Upper Chesapeake, hallelujah. I mean Emerton Baptist Hospital, hallelujah. Get you a good, listen, when you get down like that, your appetite, you get dehydrated, lose your appetite, you got to get an IV. You got to get it going straight to the source, amen. You need to get hooked in with the Holy Ghost so God can get you hungry and thirsty again. So appetite is a basic component of life, but it's also a basic measurement of health. If you have no appetite, something's wrong. If you're not hungry for the word of God, something is wrong. Something's wrong. Well, I'll tell you, prophecy is a good example. When you start preaching about prophecy and talking about prophecy, a lot of times folks say, I don't have no appetite for that. I don't care about that. That makes me scared. That makes me nervous. Let me tell you, when that gets like that, you better check up with the uppertaker. Something's wrong. Yeah, man. Oh, he's constantly encouraging us. Lift up your head. Look to the eastern sky. Be watching for me. Be waiting for me. Get your lamps all trimmed and ready. Have your oil ready. The bridegroom cometh, and he's coming to take the bride out. We ought to be excited about the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So it is a sign of life. But it's also, there's another reason that a good appetite's a blessing. A good appetite's a blessing because it is significant for growth. It is significant for growth. You won't grow like you ought to grow if you do not have a good appetite, if you're not eating properly, if you're not having a balanced diet. Without an appetite, you will not develop properly. That little baby in a cradle is just a bundle of hungers and thirst. And even though that baby does not know exactly what it wants, he knows it when he gets it. Amen. He knows what it is when you give it to him. And you can try to fake him out. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't give him what he's hungering and what he's thirsting for, he'll just keep on a-fussing. Somebody say amen right there. I've had four of them. Every one of them was the same way. They sometimes, when a pacifier will do, they sometimes nothing but a bottle will do. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, when it is just a little bundle of hunger and thirst, it doesn't know why, because it is developing, it is growing, it has some development and growth to do. It's hungry, thirsty, hungry, thirsty, hungry, thirsty, give me more, feed me more. I want to tell you, nothing thrills a preacher like a new Christian. You know why? They come in hungry and thirsty every service. You can see it on their face. They're sitting on the second row, they're going like this. And you say, turn here, they turn there. You say, turn here, they turn there. And sometimes they're still looking, you done moved on, but they want to find it because they're hungry for the word of God. That appetite is a good sign that you're growing. I remember when all of us boys was young and my dad would complain that we was eating him out of house and home, amen. And mom would say, well, you must be going through a growing spurt. You didn't leave anything on your plate, amen. I bear witness with that. Anybody got some teenagers about to bankrupt you? Hallelujah. We'll have altar prayer and weeping together here in a little while, amen. Hallelujah. It is significant. Without an appetite, you will not develop properly. Without an appetite, you will develop problems. Without an appetite, you will develop problems. Listen, our cars can no more run without gasoline than our bodies can run without food and drink. And our spiritual man is absolutely no different. You know what we'll do? We'll go out to the doctor and he'll say, let me see how you're doing. Step up on the scale. Well, they always ask you to do that right before they take your blood pressure. What do you reckon that's about? Take my blood pressure first and then tell me how big I am. Amen. Don't do it the other way around. Get up on the scale in front of God and everybody. You know, that's never in a private room. It's always in the hallway. 14 people walking by. And she can't write it down like this. Oh, no. She's got to go, too big for your own good. Got to write that out there if you're, you know, hello. Right there in front of God. She's like, move that over one more click. You're like, the 100-pound one? Okay. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Just remember this. I despise skinny people who can eat. If you're skinny and you can't eat, I feel sorry for you. But if you're skinny and eat like a horse, I hate your guts. Amen. Not really. I love you with the tender love of every pastor ought to have. But if you have no appetite, you will develop problems. Something will go wrong. You're not going to grow properly. You're not going to grow right. You're not going to grow healthy. By the way, if you don't have a right appetite, if you eat too much sugar, you're going to develop a problem, amen? If you eat things with too much trans fat in it, you'll develop a problem. If you don't get enough biscuits and gravy, you might die tomorrow. You back me up on that, fellas. I need help here. You got to have a right kind of appetite. Somebody said, preacher, look who's talking. Amen. It is significant for growth. It is a sign of life. It is significant for growth. And lastly, and we'll let you go home, it is a source of enjoyment. When you have an appetite, you enjoy your food. You ever been sick and your mama would say, Dr. Mom, amen, she'd say, you need to eat something. And you're like, I don't want to eat that. You need to eat something. Or they'll bring you, you know, when your system isn't right and they bring you a big old thing of water. Got to keep your fluids up. I don't want to. But boy, let me tell you something. They don't have to beg you to eat when your appetite's good. Hello? When your appetite's healthy, when your appetite is good, nobody has to beg you to come to the table. Nobody has to beg you. I wish I had me somebody tonight. Nobody has to beg you to come to Sunday night service. Nobody has to beg you to come to Wednesday night. You're so hungry and thirsty, you'll be here before the door is open waiting on somebody to unlock the door and say, Wednesday preaching, can we get through the singing? I'm hungry. Hallelujah. And it is enjoyable. See, if you've got in a place you don't enjoy preaching, something is wrong. If you've got in a place you don't enjoy the Word of God, something is wrong. If you've got in a place you don't enjoy sweet communion with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost, something is wrong. You need to have an appetite. Because a good appetite, one of the blessings of a good appetite is that it is a source of enjoyment. It creates a delight for food. A good appetite creates a delight for food. It is a delight to eat when one is hungry, but it also creates a delight to feed. Isn't it enjoyable to feed somebody that's hungry? I mean, somebody that's hungry don't come to the table and go, well, I don't like my bread with crust on it. My dad's got two words for you. Bam! You'd wonder what the other one was. Bam! That's what the other one was too. Hallelujah. Bread with crust on it. Hey, when you're hungry, you want to eat. Y'all have got me messed up now. You think I'm joking. It really wasn't like that. It was more like that, but that's only because Chad set to hit. Anyway, no lie. So the reality is that when you're hungry, when you have a good appetite, you enjoy eating. You enjoy your food. These chefs and these cooks, there's nothing more they'd like to do than to feed somebody who's enjoying every bite. I mean, you can see it on their face. You can hear them. If you eat with a good ear, they'll go, That's good. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, we need to develop a spiritual appetite while the preaching's happening. Deep down inside, there ought to be something saying, that's good. That's good. Oh, you're helping me, preacher. I'm getting the nutrients that I need. I may not always like the peas that you put on my plate, but it's going to help me out later on. I can eat more steak if I eat more peas. Somebody say amen. So we need to develop a healthy appetite. God said, there's a list of folks that I've got blessings for. And one of those folks is folks that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. I've got an appetite for the things of God. My tonight. Do we have a healthy appetite? Do you have a good, healthy, spiritual appetite? You say, preacher, I do. Good, I'll see you Wednesday night. You'll have your Bible under your hand. It'll have read a few more pages than it had when you left here. You'll be back here Wednesday night. You say, preacher, I don't have a good appetite. Get back here. You need help. Don't miss Wednesday night. You need help. Amen. Because if your appetite isn't good, and if you're not enjoying the Word of God, if you don't like the preaching, then I got news for you. You need to get your fluid levels up, and you need to eat some things that'll help you, because you're about to get in real, real spiritual trouble. Ever forced yourself to eat and drink when you knew this? I've got to have it. I've got to get something in my system. Let me tell you, sometimes as a child of God, you're going to have to force yourself to eat. Sometimes you have to make yourself get up extra early and read that Bible. Sometimes you have to make yourself. But I'm going to tell you, you do it often enough, it'll whop a craving on you. You get up and do it, it'll whop a craving on you. And after a while, you'll be hungering for that thing. We need a healthy spiritual appetite. This is the intro to a four-week series. If God allows us to go through it, I want to talk about developing a spiritual appetite and how to do it and why. I'll tell you something. Why some of God's people don't have a healthy spiritual appetite. There's reasons for it. There's a reason why you don't have a healthy spiritual appetite. Something systemically wrong, and we can put our finger on it and tell you why you don't have the appetite that you ought to have. My. Let's go to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've done in this service already tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for how you moved in the singing and how you moved in the testimonies and how you moved in the special music. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to develop a healthy spiritual appetite in 2017. That we get our spiritual diet figured out, because it's more important than our physical diet. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand up together. I don't know that we need to have an invitation tonight, but I'd like to sing one verse just in case somebody needs to come do business with God. You maybe God's been dealing with you all service. You hadn't moved yet. We're going to sing one verse just for you. You come tonight if God's dealing with your heart. If not, we're going to go to the house and get our week started serving God outside of these walls.